Well, we have been on quite a journey. A couple of weeks ago, 7 or 8, we began a journey through the Grow Book. Some of us have found these really stimulating, and some of us, every time I hold it up, you feel like, oh heck, I knew there was something I was supposed to do this week, I'll do it next week. And so if you have 7 sessions to do next week, that's your bad, because there is an exam next Sunday morning. That's right. And so let's rewind what we've covered so far. A good many weeks back, we learned about making Jesus Lord of our lives. We saw the importance of having daily devotions, that each day that we would be spending time with God and His Word and in prayer. We learned how to practice God's presence. We learned how to live by faith, to know when to climb mountains. There's another mountain. However that song went, and when to chase them into the sea, right? Last week, we learned about handling money wisely. We learned that everything belongs to God. It's His stuff, not my stuff. I don't hold it too tightly. So we got to give to God and then enjoy the rest wisely. We spend some. We give some away. We put some away for later because that hoodie is going to cost $400, even at the Melville flea market. So you can't buy that in 1 month's pocket money if you get 75 Rand, right? So you put some away and then you save some. Save some for a rainy day, get to the end of the month. Hey, and there's some moolah left over in the bank account. Well, today we're going to be talking about becoming a disciple maker. And I don't know if you've heard that phrase before. We've been advertising it over the last few weeks. But a lot of people have tried to work for P. Diddy. He's had a reality show, if you're not aware, and he's been looking for an apprentice. And in case you want to sign up for the next season, here is what being his apprentice is all about. Okay, I want you to turn to someone next to you, and I want you to talk about if you could be an apprentice to anyone in the world, who would you choose and why? An apprentice is someone who learns from someone else, so he was signing up people to be his apprentice. Who are you up to learn from and why? Everyone have a dream job, a dream person that you want to work for. In that clip, P. Diddy says, I want to help that person to become something, hopefully, and I want them to help me be better at what I do. And he's hired already someone out of the first season, and apparently there's a second season. Well, here's something really interesting that most Christians don't know, but that Jesus wants them to work for him. To be his disciple, which is an apprentice. And it's not always immediately clear what that means. So when Jesus says, come follow me, what does that mean? Well, there was an original apprentice show held in about AD 30 to 33 with 12 or so candidates. And as they stepped forward, Jesus came and he invited people to follow him and to learn from him. So he said, I do something unique and special, and I want you to come and follow me. And he said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Some of them were actual physically fishermen. So he said, come follow me, and it'll be a whole new job opportunity for you. And so he spent time with these 12 rough-looking individuals, Simon the Zealot, who wanted to kill tax collectors, Matthew the tax collector. There was bold guys, there was quiet guys, some we never hear about, like James the Lesser. I mean, when you've got a name like James the Lesser, you're like nobody really special. And then there's Peter, who is always putting his foot in his mouth and challenging Jesus and saying, you can't do that. And he says, just Satan, get behind me. And he begins to work with these brothers and gets them into a good place. And he appoints them so that they can be with him. With him is the whole point of apprenticeship, right? Then at some point, he sends them out and he says, hey, go out and tell the good news to everyone that the kingdom of heaven is near. Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. And as Christians, we're disciples. We're apprentices of Jesus. That means we copy Jesus. We try and see what he does and imitate him. If he was kind in a certain situation, we try and do that. So I'm always reading the Gospels to see what was Jesus like and how can I be more like him. The Bible says that the student will become like the teacher. And then we grow spiritually. You don't have to wonder how to grow because we've done 6 sessions and one of these is coming next week. But we've learned about making him Lord, about having devotions, about practicing his presence and living by faith and handling our money wisely. On the couch. And then next week we're going to be looking at spiritual family. And those are at least 6 different ways that we can grow spiritually. And here's the kicker. A disciple is also a disciple maker. So we copy Jesus, we learn from him, we grow to maturity, but we can't opt out of step number 3, which is to reach down. I don't know if you can see that soldier dude. There's a light up there and he's pulling people up out of the darkness. Listen to this as it rolls out, as Jesus gave this commission to us. Can you feel the invitation there? Like, hey, come, guys. Come do this with me. And that commandment, that commission he gave, is our call to go and make disciples. And so no matter what job I have, no matter what I do with my life, whether I am a football star and I score the most goals in the upcoming tournament, no matter if I'm a postman, and I'm going to leave that there for just a minute so you get the full impact of that picture. So no matter if I'm a postman hoping a dog's going to hold itself back from biting me to death, no matter if I'm a rock star concert performer, whether I'm only playing to my dolls and my teddy bears in my room or I'm on stage, or if I'm the greatest businesswoman that this country has ever seen, I'm actually called to make disciples. And even if I'm a pastor, I'm actually called to make disciples. And how do we do that? Well, it's simple. Have a look around the room. We help people encounter Jesus. We help them connect with other people. We help them grow to spiritual maturity. We help them reach their friends for Jesus. And we help them influence their world for Christ. That's the process. Here's what it looks like. So who told you? Who will you tell? And who will you teach? That's the question. I want to ask a question. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, who are you helping on their journey? I heard something yesterday as I was driving in my car down south. Someone said that discipleship is walking with God and turning around to teach someone else how you did it. It doesn't take rocket science to tell someone else how to do something that you've learned to do. It's exciting to be able to pass it on, you know, to receive and then to pass it on, to give it out. And so how are we going to do this? Do you remember that Great Commission said, go and make disciples of all nations? Well, here's maybe an example of how we can do it. What I can do is I can come up to Lolly over here and I can put my hand on his shoulder. I can tell him Jesus loves him. And as he stands, there's a sign that he's given his life to Jesus, and give him a big round of applause. That's awesome, don't you think? And he's going to stay standing just for a minute. And if I put my hand on your shoulder and as you stand and you accept Jesus and all that like bad stuff is gone and you're so excited now, your exams, you're getting straight A's, awesome. And he stays standing as I touch you. You've come to know Jesus. I bypass you because you look like dodgy. Touch you and you come to know Jesus. And then Imta says, no, even the dodgy dudes. And I touch him and woohoo, you know, Zach's a Christian. Touch him. And isn't this incredible? I am so effective. I'm paid by the church to do this. I've led 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give me a round of applause. I'm making a church. I'm famous. I'm the pastor. You call me man of God. Okay? Isn't that great? That's addition. I'm adding them into the kingdom. Do you think that's a good strategy? Take a seat for just a minute. We'll see if it is. So remember that. I led 6 people to Jesus. I come to Lolu and I lead him to Jesus. And before I'm done with him, before I just say, come and give money to me, I say, hey, Lolu, we've got this mission, this great commission. And I show him a video clip of a kid's like making like plants and stuff. And he's like, hey, Pastor Mark, can I go do that? And I'm like, yeah, of course. But when you lead someone to Christ, tell them to go touch someone else as well. Okay? And tell them to keep going and make sure your disciples are doing it. I'm going off to do it somewhere else, so I can't be with you now, dude. Okay, you go and do it, and I lead you to Christ. And I'm also like telling, man, you need to go lead someone else to Jesus. We can change this world, I reckon, in a short period of time. Go tell someone else, make them stand, but get them telling other people as well. So I like led two people to Jesus already, and I'm leading you to Jesus. Why don't you go to the ends of the earth, there in Santon, go right to the back, tell them to come to know Jesus, but tell them to keep on doing it. I've done, I think, three people now. You need to come and follow Jesus, dude. There's some dodgy people in the south of Joburg. Go lead them to Jesus down over there, dude. I've led, like, that's my fourth person. I'm doing pretty well. Dude, you need to go. And, like, maybe there at the back, there's some Christian leaders who don't really know Jesus. And go tell them that they need to. That's five people. Hey, man, you need to go tell. Find someone. Send them and let them know. What just happened? What the heck happened? Someone just said we ran out of people. Everyone got touched. I only touched six people, like I did the first time. But you see, we didn't do addition that time. What do? A multiplication. If I preach, listen to this. If I preach to 1,000 people every single day, it will take me 16,435 years to reach the world, to fulfill the Great Commission. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be quite tired in my 15,000th year of living and probably look a bit frail. If I do multiplication, if I do what I did now, just maybe reaching two people even in a whole year and send them out to reach and grow just two others, we will reach the world in 33 years. That's the power of multiplication. Have you seen the ad on TV? If I have this cool, refreshing drink and my Chinas have it and my Chinas have it, next minute, end to global warming and global freezing happens. Okay? My Chinas and my Chinas. So I need to tell my Chinas, okay? Not just Chinese. Some of you need a call to the Chinese, but some of us need to go elsewhere. But is it okay to tell people about Jesus? Listen to an atheist, his name is Penn, I'm forgetting his first name, and he's going to talk about what he thinks about Christians who tell atheists about Jesus.
And at the end of the show, and there was one guy waiting over to the side, and he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. It was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane. And looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch.
I stay near the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which people walk when they find God. There's no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside and they crave to know where the door is, and so I stay near the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for people to find the door to God. The most important thing anyone can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and to put it on the latch. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find God, and so I stay near the door. Go in, great saints. Go all the way in. Go down into the cellars and way up into the attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. Go into the deepest hidden places of withdrawal and silence. But realize that the people too far in do not see they are preoccupied with the wonder of it all, and so I stay near the door. Oh, I admire the people who go way in, but wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door. You can go in too deeply and stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I take my old accustomed place near enough to God to hear him and know that he's there, but not so far from people as not to hear them and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them. But more important for me is one of them or two of them or ten of them whose hands I'm intended to put on the latch. And so I stay by the door and wait for those who hear it or seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, and so I stay near the door. Jesus has called me to be a disciple who makes disciples. It's not an option. We won't fulfill the Great Commission if we don't do that. And in 2 minutes, as we've gone over, I want to tell you that there's some tools that you can use. You can pray for people around you. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take science. It's just, Lord, help me pray for someone who needs help. You can build friendships with people. Boys are tight. You know, they're friends. We can build those kind of friendships. We can use technology. We can SMS and mix it. I came the closest I've ever been to mix it last night as Ashley taught me how to do mix it. And I'm certainly not going to go on because I'd seem like a predator. But it was fun to see how she could send a message and Norms was on and I wasn't going to connect with her. But it was like, hey, this is cool. You can connect with people. You could use that to make disciples. You could show kindness to people who don't have. Do you know that on Friday night, Alfonso and Leroy were with us? Do any of you know where they slept on Friday night? Anyone? In the bus shelter outside Nando's. And they parked cars in the day maybe to get 2 rand. And they were with us Friday night. And Cheryl gave them an extra cup of hot chocolate. And we want to talk this week about what we can do about Leroy and Alfonso. Because they need intervention in their lives. Our testimony, our story of what God has done for me. How he sent me away from the darkness. Or the flames of hell, and he drew me into the light. I can tell that story of how my life was changed. And we've created some booklets that some of us are more guilty about than anything else. But if you know someone who's seeking, you could use the Encounter booklet or the Grow book, and there's a whole pile of them that Andrew's printed at the back that we can use. And you're free to take one anytime you want. We also have events like Friday night events and these Sunday mornings that are designed to help people in their faith journey. So really, there's not too much of an excuse. I don't know if you're going to accept the call today. Find a disciple, someone else that you can help in their journey. Begin to walk with them, disciple them, and use some of the tools that are floating around. We're so rich. We've got so much. We can turn our neighborhoods around, our schools around. We can become disciple makers. You can't only respond to the copying Jesus and the growing to spiritual maturity part. There's this part too, the making of disciples. That's what disciples do. Father, help us to hear your call and to respond, to reach out and to say, yes, Lord, we're unsure of where it's going to take us. Maybe we haven't been grown to spiritual maturity yet and we're young in the faith, but we already can go out and bring others. Remember how you brought Andrew to yourself and he immediately went out and found his brother Simon. And Simon, Peter, it was the one who led thousands to you on the day of Pentecost. Imagine if Andrew didn't do his work and bring in Peter. Lord, help us to hear your call today to respond. And right now, just where you are, just in your heart, say, Lord, I'm going to do this, or no, to heck with you, I'm not going to do this. Lord, those are our only two options, to say, yes, we will seek to do this in a real way that matches our nature, our personality, or Lord, now we're just too busy, and so if you can just wait until we're 60 maybe. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to be your disciples and to be those who make disciples. We pray this in your incredible name. Amen.